As you already know, we're coming to you live from church. We had a little hiccup in the system, I think, during worship, but please let John know during service if you have any issues viewing or hearing at home, and he'll work on getting those addressed as we go through the message today. But we're coming to you live. I've always wanted to say that, from our church facility here in Old Town Marietta, and I really miss seeing all of you and hearing the kids' voices, the laughter, and even the crying babies would be a welcome sound right now at this time that we often hear on Sunday morning, although by the looks of Hannah, that could happen by the end of the message today. So she is due any moment, and you guys keep her and Job in prayer, and the little guy that God is going to bless him with here very, very soon. But as you know, this is a season, and the Lord has a purpose, and he'll see us through this time as we keep our trust in him. And so we're going to look at a passage today that reminds us where to keep our focus during times like this, and what it is that God might be doing in our world, our nation, our communities, and in our lives. And he is for sure slowing us down, as you all know. I'm sure many of you have unplugged from a lot of regular activities. You're with your family. But most importantly, what is God doing wanting to say to the church today, the body of Christ, and in the lives of believers? So if you have your Bibles there in your homes, Psalm 46 is where we're going to be, in verse 1 through 11. Psalm 46. And verse 1 through 11. So, are we still live? Doing good. All right, good. I see activity in the back, just making sure. So, Psalm 46, if you have your Bible, we're going to read the whole Psalm, 11 verses, and come back and draw some points of application this morning. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And then verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, we see the word Selah. Let's pray together as we begin to look at God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have before us, especially in days like this, Father, your word that is eternal, and it does not change, it endures. And so, Father, I pray with all the voices coming at us today, we would hear your voice above all of them this morning. Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. I pray for our church family and those that are watching online in homes today, that you would just, as Job prayed, Lord, just help each living room, each place of viewing be a place of your presence being made known, your voice being heard, and your peace being experienced in our lives as we just put our trust in you, Lord. So I pray your word would come forth with clarity, and Lord, that we would respond to it in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. A lot of psalms are attributed to David, the singers in the temple. And the you see also it is in the preface of the psalm, a song for Alamoth, which they say is the higher soprano voices, probably the young ladies that would sing this song in the church, and maybe a higher tone, perhaps soprano voice, just kind of what all that means. But as we get into the psalmist says, God is our safe place and he is our strength. And question, as you know, for many is today is, how do you know that place of safety and refuge practically? Well, I would say very simply to you, trust in Jesus Christ and abide in him in a relationship. That way, when the physical aspect of life is threatened or in danger, you know that in Christ you have a place of refuge that you are in and that you can go to, and you can be secure there. When the physical is threatened, he is that place of safety. He is also our strength. Last week we referenced 2 Timothy 1:7 on the screen, or you'll see it there at home in the back, you guys, 2 Timothy 1:7. And this reference verse is a very fitting verse and very much looked at during this time where Paul told Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's a great verse to hang on to during these days. That word power means ability. The strength of many is failing right now, as we know, because their source of strength and safety is threatened, or it's slowly eroding before them. But in the Lord, not only do we have safety and refuge, but you and I also have strength in Him today. Back when Daniel was carrying out his work that God had given him to do, there was a wicked king that was threatening the people of God, and some of the people were caving in to this wicked king that was coming against them. Daniel 11:32 on the screens there. Daniel said that those who do wickedly against the covenant that they had made with God, he shall corrupt with flattery. This wicked king coming against them, he would corrupt them with flattery. But Daniel went on to say in the second part of that verse, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That word exploit is perhaps not a word you hear often today, but it means a notable or heroic act to make productive use of. And those who know their God during this time shall be strong, according to God's word, and will make productive use of this time. We are not to cower in fear and misuse the time that God has given us. We will carry out heroic deeds in the name of the Lord and make productive use of the time. And at the end of verse number 1, the psalmist also adds, not only is God a help, and what a help to have, amen, in this day, not only is He present, meaning He's right here now, He is your help, He is your help presently. Paul mentioned in one of the struggles of life that he was going through, he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So in your present weakness or struggle, at that moment of weakness, then you are strong if you know the Lord and put your trust in Him presently. But a third descriptive word of God there in this psalm is, He is a very present help. That word very means He is a might or a force, an abundant muchness, which is one definition of the word. He is an abundance of muchness of the present need. Basically, you could say it this way, that God is on it. He's already on it. Before you, I ever realized there was a need. In fact, before we knew the danger or the need, He already had it planned out, provided for. He is with you, a very present help in time of trouble. And the result of knowing this about God, the God who loves you and gave His Son on the cross for you, that not only is He our safe place, our strength, and a very present help, but the result of all that, as we read in verse 2, the psalmist says, based on verse 1, therefore we will not fear, the kind of fear that makes you forget God. We will not fear. We will not forget God. Because fear, as you know, is a liar. We talked about it last Sunday. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. It's not that you ignore what's going on in and around you in the world today. It's not saying that at all. You turn a blind eye to it. If you look at the news, you watch the news, you see this crisis we're faced with. But fear is a liar, fear that makes you forget God. But you who know your God, you who know your Father, you shall be strong. And, you know, the word fear is used 457 times in the New King James Version of the Bible. There are 150 fear nots in Scripture. And as you think about that, I know it's been referenced before, the reason God has told us so many times not to fear is because He knew we would confront it in our daily life, as many people are staring fear in the face right now. In fact, speaking of the end times, Luke in his gospel, Luke 21 on the screen, verse 25 through 26, speaking of the times that will come upon this world before Jesus returns, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth distress of nations. We see that today with perplexity. We certainly see that. The sea and the waves roaring. And then look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them from fear. Heart failure due to fear. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You see, the Bible does not ignore the issue of fear. Fear is a very real thing. But Paul refers to fear as a spirit, and the reason is fear is a way of looking at life and circumstances, especially when things seem to be out of our control. But as a believer in Jesus, you know who's in control. And if you've made God your refuge and you've made God your strength, who is a very present help in times of trouble and trial, you need not fear, even though fear will present itself on the battlefield of life. You face fear every day. I face fear every day. God does not ignore it, but remember the spirit he has given us is not one of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Verse 2 indicates, even though the most stable things around you seem to be moving and shaking there in verse 2, the earth is removed, mountains carried to the midst of the sea. Many say this is a direct reference to earthquakes, which we've seen around the world lately on an increasing level. Mountains, as you know, are regarded by men as symbols of stability. You look at a mountain, you think, wow, there's something solid. That's not being moved. And when mountains begin to dance and shake, great terror normally follows, doesn't it? If you've ever been through an earthquake, in fact, I don't know, most of you are aware that Old Town Murrieta is sitting right on a big fault line. If things start moving and shaking, we will no doubt be terrified for a few moments. But we've viewed this country, as you know, as a great and mighty nation, and no doubt it has been and it is only because of God's hand and blessing, his plan and his mercy. But now, as you know, this great country, along with the rest of the world in which we live, is moving and shaking and very unstable. John MacArthur had a great quote on this verse and this exact point. And John MacArthur said, and I quote, he said, "When the most stable becomes unstable, there should be no fear because of the transcendent stability of God." There should be no fear when things are moving and shaking because God is immovable. God is fixed. He does not change. And the Bible says, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he is your place of refuge and safety. In verse 3, at the end of the verse, as the mountains which seem to be stable are thrown into the sea, metaphorically, I believe he's speaking there, but even if that were to happen, the ocean is roaring, threatening life itself, and all around us is uncertain. You see the word Selah at the end of verse 3. I think many of you have heard before, one of the definitions of that word is stop and think about the weight of what you've just heard. Stop and think about the weight of what you've just heard in verse 1 and 2. Let that sink in. That as the mountains are sinking into the ocean, let the truth of God's word sink into your heart and rest there. Remember, Jesus one day sent his disciples out across the lake. He said, "You guys go on ahead. I'll catch up later." And he spent time in prayer with his Father. When the disciples were on the sea, a storm arose, and the disciples are afraid for their lives. Jesus comes to them in their terror, and he says, "Peace, be still." And if you're familiar with the story, immediately he calms the storm. And one guy said on this point, it's something I've never heard, but it sure fits where we're at today. He said it took Jesus longer to calm his disciples than it did to calm the storm. The storm instantly calm, but the disciples are still, like you and I at times, were fearful. And at the end of verse 3, as the psalmist said, Selah. We don't have enough Selah moments in life. We're moving so quick, one thing to the next. Let the truth of God's word sink in to your heart and rest in it. Well, in verse number 4, the words of refreshing waters here contrast with the torrents that are threatening the life of man. He references the city of God there and in the present setting, referring to Jerusalem, God's chosen earthly residence, and Jerusalem, his chosen place of dwelling. And prophetically, I would say to you today, as I know many of you are already doing, keep your eyes and ears open to what's going on in Jerusalem today. That is the epicenter of what's really going to be taking place. But also know, as that is God's chosen place in this scripture that's being referenced, know that you as a believer in Jesus Christ are also the place of God's dwelling today. I came down to the church one morning this week, and of course the building was empty, and God impressed upon me realizing this building is simply a shell. We're thankful for it. It's a great place to meet and a great place to have ministry take place, but the church is really the people. And God values above everything in this earth his people. That is his chosen place of dwelling. Paul said, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God, that God has chosen to take up residence in your life," just as the psalmist here is referencing Jerusalem. And the rivers of water that are referenced here in the psalm have to make us think of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you as a believer today. Remember, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your life. In fact, in John 7:38 on the screen, Jesus said this, When you think about those rivers of water, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow, not trickle, not drop, but will flow rivers of living water. So today in our current situation, I would say to you, fear not. Based on God's word, he is your refuge. All around us is moving and shaking right now. The hearts of men are fearful and they're failing. But as a believer in Jesus and the one who's made God your place of refuge, God, by the Holy Spirit, lives in you. You as a believer in Jesus are his chosen place of dwelling today. Think of all the places God could choose, and he's chosen to live in you by his Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, you have a continual source of refreshment and life by his Spirit. Right now, you can help your neighbor. Right now, you can share the hope of Jesus in the most troubling and uncertain of times. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." And so knowing God is present in the midst of people will settle us. But at the end of verse 5, the psalmist said, "God will help her," referring there to Jerusalem, "just at the break of dawn." You may have heard this, and some of you already know the truth of it, that it's always darkest just before the break of day. It's always darkest just before the break of day. We are in uncertain and some would say dark times right now, but I would say keep your eye on the sky and your trust in the Lord that he will help us just at the right moment. Jesus will help us. In fact, he's helping us now. God has not forgotten us. He has, as someone has said, his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He knows how long and how hot things need to be for what he has planned to turn out just right. If you've ever baked something at home and you forgot it was in the oven and you burned it, you left it in too long or the temperature was too hot, God doesn't do that. He knows just how long and just how hot before what he has planned will come out just right. In verse number 6, the psalmist says, "The nations rage, kingdoms moved." And as you know, as you look at the news, if you watch the news, I know many people are today, as you should be aware of what's going on, but a lot of nations are raging today. Kingdoms are being moved and shaken. But I would ask you, whose voice are you listening most to right now? Because there are a lot of voices speaking to what's going on. I shared a quote Wednesday, or I believe it was last Sunday, from Dave Ramsey, a piece of advice for those who are panicked. And he simply said, if you're panicked right now, and you're a believer, turn off the social media and open your Bible and begin to hear from your Father. I was out this week, and I mentioned that to a lady, and I offered that advice not knowing where she stood, and she came back with, "Well, that's not for everyone." And so I knew where she stood. The nations are raging right now. They're looking for answers. Everyone's giving an opinion and offering solutions to this situation. But the second half of verse 6, God spoke and the nations simply melted away. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It breaks the cedars. It makes the lamb give birth, or the deer. God's voice moves and shakes things. Psalm 119:89, the psalmist said this about the word of God. He said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. See, you and I are here for 70. If by reason of strength you get an extra 10 years, great, but you still fade away, and so will I one day, but the word of God abides forever. And so in verse 7 again, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." God in Jesus has made himself known. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And as this psalm was initially written to the Jewish people, the God of Jacob, that meant a lot to them, because for the Jewish people, ancestry and lineage were huge. But do you know today that Jesus is also the Lord and Savior of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, people like you and I? Unless you're a Jew, he's the Savior of all of us. In the New Testament, there's a story of an old man named Simeon. And he's in the temple of Jerusalem, and God had promised him, "Simeon, you will not die until you have seen the Lord's salvation." And so he would spend much time in the temple, and after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, as you know, took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated. And Simeon is there in the temple on the day of Jesus being brought there. And so this old man who'd been given this promise from God saw the baby Christ being brought into the temple for dedication by Mary and Joseph. And as he saw him in Luke 2 on the screen, verse 29 through 32, this old man who'd waited his whole life upon seeing Jesus said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Think of what that must have meant to this old man to see the salvation of God right before his eyes. You know today that you too can have peace and be ready to depart this life in peace once you see Jesus, God's salvation. Know who he is and what he came to do. Trust him. And know, if you don't know anything else about him, that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. At the end of verse 7, after the psalmist said, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge," you see again, for the second time in this psalm, the word Selah. Stop and consider the weight of what has just been said. Now, as we come to verse number 8, the psalmist says, "Come behold the works of the Lord." Consider and look at what God is doing. And today, God is at work. But the question is, what is God doing in the world today? As I want to behold his works, what is he doing? If you're a believer and you have your Bible, I would say you have a front row seat to what God is doing today. You have access to know and see what God is doing. I've heard many people say that if I could have just lived in the time when Jesus walked this earth, how exciting that would have been, and no doubt it would. Or maybe back in the days of some of the great prophets of old, to be there when God spoke to his people through that prophet, how exciting it would be to live at that time. But you know, if you're a believer today, you are living at the most exciting time in history to be a believer in Jesus Christ, because his return is on the threshold, and I'm not going to be like some and try and predict when. But I would say it's close. In Psalm 119, as far as what God is doing, look on the screen. The psalmist said, "The entrance of your words, God, your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Things that were spoken of for years by the prophets and others are being played out in living color before your eyes today. God's word and his spirit will open your eyes to see and consider and behold the works of the Lord. The psalmist said in that verse 8, that he makes desolations in the earth. That word desolation is used in other places in the Bible. For example, Isaiah 13, this isn't on the screen, but that word desolation refers to the day of the Lord, or the day of God's judgment on sinners and a sinful world that has rejected him. It is no doubt that we in America have deserved the judgment of God for some time. For us to think we're immune to it, that we're such a great people, we have deserved his judgment based on some of the things and many of the things that have happened in this land for quite some time. And what we in the world are going through right now could be a foretaste of the judgment that is to come. Tribulation is coming on this world after the rapture of the church. Our teacher at the Bible college said a semester or so ago, this world is on a collision course with the judgment of God. And the only escape from that judgment is to trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done and the blood that he shed that forgives us. But tribulation is coming on this world. What we see today is perhaps a foretaste. What we see perhaps is a wake-up call. You know what a wake-up call is. You're sound asleep. It's time to wake up. Someone calls you and says, "Hey, it's time to get up." Many have said that God is awakening his church right now. He's awakening us. And this is a good time to be sure that you're ready for the Lord's return. You know, that idea of the rapture that many Christians, we know about, the Bible speaks of it, it teaches and talks about the Lord pulling his church out of this world before God's judgment comes upon it in the great tribulation. That seemed perhaps to many just a short while ago like some mystical type thing. We don't understand how it could happen, and it is no doubt one of the hugest events that will ever happen in history. But a few weeks ago, it didn't seem too likely, but we see how quickly God can get the entire world's attention, can he? And right now, everybody is like, what is going on in the world? It could be a foretaste. And so the church is needing to wake up. Verse 9 is a reference to God's ability to stop the strivings of men and bring peace. And if you live in America, we live in a nation, by the grace of God, that has experienced, at least recently, not what a lot of people know in other parts of the world, that live in constant threat of their life physically, where wars are taking place, lives are being taken, people are being brutally killed every day in this world. Believers are being persecuted now more than any other time in history, and we've been somewhat shielded from that. But this verse is a reference to God's ability to stop the striving of men and bring peace. And won't that be a wonderful day? One day when Jesus rules and reigns on this earth, that will be a reality. All the posturing, the positioning of nations right now to put one down, to build up another, wars, rumors of war that we hear about, thank God, one day, and one day soon, that will all be taken away as our God makes all wars to cease, as he breaks the bow, he cuts the spear in two, he burns the chariot in the fire, and as he destroys all the weapons and instruments of war, there will be peace. Now in verse 10, as we come to the close of the psalm, it's a well-known verse, my favorite part of this psalm, he says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. That literally means drop your hands, quit striving and stressing and straining, quiet your heart and know something. Know that there's only one God, and as some have said, you aren't him. There's only one. God is God, King of kings, Lord of lords. Quiet your heart. Have a personal knowledge of and a relationship with the God who made you, the God who loves you more than you could imagine and controls all the events of your life. With everything going on in the world right now, every promise he's ever made is still true. Only God can do that. You know, on a human level, we make promises, don't we? As Christians, we're warned about making hasty vows, but sometimes we make promises, and then when things change or it gets too hard, we will back out of a promise, but not our God. Be still is not so much here referring to physical stillness, even though that is good at times, but it means you need to quiet your heart and drop your hands. Quit acting like an unbeliever and thinking it's all up to you. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've trusted his finished work, crucified, buried, risen again for you, that has brought you into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, and know today that he is faithful. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and they're amen, and he doesn't back out on those things. Know that he is God and he will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. This is initially directed to both his nation Israel for comfort, to the other nations around the world that are coming against her. It's a warning that God will take care of his own. We are not into replacement theology at all, which simply means, well, God's promises to Israel are now for the church. That we don't do that. We don't believe that's right. We believe God's promises to Israel are for Israel. And those promises are still true for them. They hold true today. But do you know there are promises to you as a believer that give you that same rest? Israel is Israel, and God is dealing with the nation of Israel, and he yet will in the future. But there's similar promises that God will take care of you as a believer today related to all things going on. The screen, you see Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. This virus is not good. I don't need to tell you that. It's bringing fear and loss of life and sickness around the world right now. The virus is not good, but our God is still sovereign, and his promises hold true. And we know, Paul said, who'd been through quite a few things himself, that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. So again, for the second time in this very short psalm, in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, Selah. Now, we're getting a lot of Selah time these days, aren't we? As things are shut down, businesses are closed, sports are called off, schools are shut down. Time to stop and think. Could it be a gift of God to you today in all the chaos and rushing here and there to be able to sit still for a while and consider this wonderful thing? Our daughter we have a weekly calendar at home, and usually on the wall there we have all the activities and things we got to do, and we're looking at next week. It's pretty empty. But could that be a gift of God? That God loves you, He has made that love known in the person of Jesus, and as you trust in Him, receive Him into your life to know He is with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I heard one commentator as I moved to close here, he said, related to the beginning of this song, that we will not fear even though the earth were removed. He said, think if this earth was suddenly removed, where would you be? My first thought was dead, but he said, if you were still here, you'd be in the middle of outer space, just kind of looking around. But he said, even then, don't fear, because God is with you. Now this morning, I would just say this to you as we come to a conclusion. When all of that which seems to be stable and secure is being shaken, and in some cases, it's being taken away. Retirement accounts are disappearing before people's eyes. Income is cut off. Physical surroundings threatened. Food, shelter, and clothing. Question mark. I would simply say to you what Jesus said last week, that your Father knows and God has not forgotten. Remember to take refuge in Him and trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. God has been through things like this before. I would say if He has been your refuge in the past, you already know this. But if He has not been, I would say you need to trust in His salvation today. Jesus Christ, make Him your refuge and your strength. He will show Himself strong on your behalf. I would encourage you the rest of this day after this service, perhaps do a media fast. Read your Bible. Go for a walk. It's beautiful outside. Get some exercise as we saw last Sunday in Matthew 6. Maybe you need to look at the birds of the air or consider the lilies of the field and know if God takes care of them and feeds them as Jesus said, He will do the same for you. Jesus said that. He will do the same for you. Much more, O you of little faith. Do you know in the midst of all this that the first day of spring actually happened last Thursday? It's spring now. And Easter is on the way. 3 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. And I was thinking about that. You know, Satan tried to stop it once, and that didn't go so well, did it? The first Easter happened. It's happened every year since. And Easter will happen again this April 12th as we remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead and His victory on our behalf and victory over death and the grave. So I would say to you today, in the midst of all the trial, the uncertainty, and yes, no doubt the fear that stares many in the face, rejoice in the Lord, rest in Him, and through His Holy Spirit, you have an unending supply of refreshment and strength available to you. We need not fear. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I just say quickly to the kids at home, don't drive your parents crazy. You're out of school, keep up with your schoolwork, enjoy your family. God will take care of you. Help out around the house. Get outside. Get some exercise and sunshine. And one last thing, I think the Lord just clearly reminded me. Our seventh core value at Calvary Sunrise is community, fellowship, being together. And our statement says this: we believe we will change the world by being the church, not by simply going to church. As you know, we can't go to church like we normally do or have, but we can be the church like never before today. Let's look for those opportunities to actually be the church and love God and love one another and our neighbor and the world that Jesus died for by proclaiming the good news and helping people to follow Him. One of my greatest fears that I shared with some of the guys here this morning is, one of my greatest fears is not this virus, as fearful as it potentially is, but that we're going to go back to the way things were before it came. And I would say to you, let's not let that happen. Let's not go back to the way things were. Let's take this wake-up call as a gift from God to the things that really matter in life. And so with that, I just say I love you guys. Appreciate you that have been watching online in your home and the people here that are we're praying for you, remembering you. But I would encourage you to tune in Wednesday night for Isaiah 42. It's a very relevant scriptures that Bruce will be teaching in this Wednesday night at 7, so make sure you tune in and just stay in touch. As he mentioned, share prayer requests. We're still the church. Let's be the church during these days ahead. So let me close in prayer, and Job will come lead us in a closing song, and then we'll say goodbye until we see you next time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for this wonderful opportunity, Lord, through internet and media to be able to stay together as a church family and potentially reach beyond the walls of this building to others who are looking for you during this time. And Lord, so as we close today, Father, I pray you would help those who are in some ways rightly gripped with fear, confronted by fear, because all things are moving and shaking right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of threat to our physical existence. And yet at the same time, Lord, I know that fear is a liar and that your word is true. And I pray you help us take refuge in you and your ability to care for us, to watch over us and keep us until the day of Jesus Christ, Lord. So be with our church family, be with those who've gathered with us online, and just keep us in your care, Father, till we meet together again. Father, have your ways. We close in worship and be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.